Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Ready? See if you can identify these five clips in the order that they're played. It could be from a song, a movie, a TV show, or something else. But if it's coming from this podcast, then you know that it's from Generation X. Listen closely. Good luck.
A double pleasure's waiting for you.
Neat.
And hey, let's be careful out there. Oh, no!
Hello, and welcome to Who'll Save Generation X, the trivia game show that is dedicated to remembering, celebrating, and preserving all the wonderful qualities of Generation X through games, trivia, and friends. I am Xavier, host, and today we are back with our next edition of the show that we call The Home Game. This alternative format of the show gives you a chance to play at home, with a friend, or by yourself, as well as giving you your fix of Gen X trivia in between regular episodes of the show. Here's how we play. Each episode, we invite a special guest to let them set the benchmark score for you to try and beat. Each round has a different game for you to try out, and at the end, you can compare your score with that of our special guest's benchmark and earn your rank on the quiz. So if everyone's ready, let's start the show.
This I command!
Command this, buddy!
We have a special twist on this episode. Normally, the home game is our single-player version of the show, but tonight we welcome our first ever two-player episode of our single-player format of the show. Our special guests this episode are a musical duo that is a dark electro duo blending electronic and analog instruments with strong vocals. Please welcome to the show Philip and Cassandra of the band called Light Shadows.
Shadows on the trail.
Judges, no, cut that off. That's Blue Shadows from Three Amigos. Here we have two amigos in a band called Light Shadows. Big difference. Light Shadows, please say hello to the listeners. Tell them a little bit about yourselves. Please include what
generation you're from
and how you feel about setting the benchmark score for this episode. Let's start with you, Philip.
Phil up.
Phil, I'm Bill, and this is Gil.
Phil, I'm Gil, and this is Jill.
Phil, I'm Jill. You know, Gil and Bill.
Hey, everybody. I'm Philip from Light Shadows. We're supposed to reveal our generation. I suppose I'm a boomer. I'm sorry to admit it. But hey, actually, I'm proud of it. So, you know, you guys can deal with it.
Spoken like a boomer. Okay.
There you go.
I'm just teasing you. Welcome to the show. And please welcome also Philip's partner, Cassandra.
And you are?
Cassandra.
Cassandra. Rough night, huh? Everybody's kung fu fighting.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you doing, everyone? Okay, I'm excited and nervous about doing the benchmark, though. I've got to say, I'm hoping I don't crash and burn. And if I do, I hope we at least provide some entertainment along the way.
Well, whether you get all the questions right or get them all wrong, It's still going to be an entertaining episode. And it's going to be great for the listeners because they could score some major points here and dunk all over both of you. And speaking as a Gen Xer, there's nothing more satisfying than dunking over a boomer. I just got to say.
Don't be mean to my boomer bandmate, man.
No, I'm very happy to have both of you here. I'm just teasing you, Philip.
You guys do what you will.
Between the two of us hitting the generation from two opposite ends, we might actually be able to answer some of the questions.
Right. Well, we'll see how this goes.
So it's so wild how I discovered your podcast because I work as a writer as well. So one of my clients, I had written an article on millennials. I'd written an article on Gen Z as consumers. And then I thought, I should write one on Gen X, the most awesome generation. Wouldn't that be fun? And in the process of writing it, I discover your podcast and I put it in under the section at the bottom called Extra Credit. And then I just reached out to you to let you know I did it. And you were so gracious in your response. It was like, oh, I'll post this. I'm like, thank you very much. And the conversation continued, and here we are. How crazy is that?
It's our meet cute.
Tele awesome.
So listeners, let's see if you can outscore this tag team special guest, or if you need to go back and refresh the memory of the cool stuff of your youth.
The power.
Struggle.
In the opening of this episode, you heard five quick clips from Generation X. The game is called The Power Struggle, and in this game, you need to name those five clips in the order that they were played. If you get all five correct and in the correct order, then you will be bumped up an entire letter grade and rank at the end of the quiz. Think of it sort of as an extra credit question to help you out with your score. If you don't know it right away, don't worry. We'll play the clip a few times during the episode, so listen close and see if you can solve The Power Struggle. Good luck. Since we have two guests setting the bar this episode, here are the special rules for the game. We have three rounds of trivia and games. For the trivia round, we will alternate questions for each of you to answer separately and score points as a team. You will then pick one of you to go solo in round two, and that means your partner will go solo in round three. All points scored will go into a pool for your team, as this is a cooperative version of the game show, and your combined end score will set the bar for the listeners at home to try and beat. As a twist, if you get stuck on a question, you can combine your forces in what we're calling the Wonder Twins Lifeline. If on your turn to answer you need help, you can say, Wonder Twin Powers activate, and then you and your partner can conference about your answer. You will get one Wonder Twins Lifeline per round each, so use them wisely. There are a total of 24 points available in this episode. So everyone, please keep track of your score, and we'll see how well you did versus our special guest benchmark at the end of the episode.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper.
So that's enough chatting about it. Let's do it. It's time to see if you can save Generation X from fading into oblivion.
Round one.
Round one is our trivia round. Each complete correct answer is worth 2 points. If you think you could convince the judges into giving you partial credit for your answer, you can award yourself one pity point. For your partial correct response, we'll use the honor system here. Good luck. This question is called, Please Don't Take My Heart Away. This is a movie question. Featuring memorable tracks from artists like The Psychedelic Furs and OMD, Pretty in Pink soundtrack is a major part of what makes this movie so iconic. The new wave music serves as a perfect accompaniment to Andy's journey of self-discovery and young love. It also complements one of the movie's primary settings, Andy's part-time job at a record store. Here's your question. What is the name of the record store where Andy works after school? This is a multiple choice. Is it A, Spins? B, Tracks? C, Iona's? D, the name of the record store was never mentioned in the movie, but it was shot at a location called Music Yum. Or is it E, Ye Old Ugly Prom Dress Record Shoppy?
Oh, man. That's a bet. I'm going to take a guess. I'm going to go for it. Spins.
Spins is incorrect. I'm sorry. Philip, did you know that answer?
Yes, I did. That was Trax.
Yes, Trax was the correct answer. Did you know that OMD wrote 2 songs for the movie's ending? We all know Andy ends up with Blaine.
Blaine?
But in the original edit of the movie, Andy ends up with Ducky. This end didn't play well with test audiences, and so the ending was changed. The song OMD had originally written for the ending was called Goddess of Love, and it no longer fit from the ending, so they casually busted out another Gen X anthem, If You Leave. You know what I'd really like to know is, who are these test audiences that wanted to see Andy end up with anyone other than Ducky? I've never met anyone with an opinion on this topic that says that they like how this movie ended. What do you guys think?
Oh, yeah, I wish she would have ended up with Ducky. It was hard not to feel your heart break every time Ducky sort of was standing there alone, you know? Oh, poor guy. And also that performance. Oh, for heaven's sake, the performance in what is called tracks, apparently, was brilliant.
Right. How does Andy not just instantly fall in love with Ducky after that?
Yeah.
I'm calling BS.
Totally agree.
Okay, Philip, this one's for you. The title of this is called Don't Follow the Cat. It is a movie question. Alien, directed by Ridley Scott, is a landmark science fiction horror film that continues to terrify and enthrall audiences decades after its release. Scott's meticulous attention to detail and innovative visual style established him as a visionary filmmaker and solidified Alien as a timeless classic in the realm of both science fiction and horror cinema. We all remember Sigourney Weaver in her iconic role as Ripley, but do you remember which of these pretty in pink actors was also in Alien? Was it A, James Spader? B, Andrew Dice Clay? C, Harry Dean Stanton? D, John Cryer? Or was it E, a waffle iron named Blaine?
Blaine? His name is Blaine? Oh, that's a major appliance. That's not a name.
I'm pretty sure it was Harry Dean Stanton.
Harry Dean Stanton is correct. Well done.
Wow. I could have actually gotten that one. I do have a funny Alien story, though.
Oh, let's hear it.
Okay. I did not see Alien until a group of friends and I went to the director's cut that was released in the early 2000s in the movie theaters. And it's one of the dangerous things about seeing the spoofs of a movie before you see the movie that's being spoofed. Because, of course, when it looked like a pelvis jumped on his face. First, that I died laughing. And then when the alien came out of his chest, I laughed even harder. And it was such an honest laughter that the people behind me started laughing. My friends were livid, but all I could think of was, hello, my baby. Hello, my daughter.
Check, please.
Yeah. It didn't ruin it for me, but it certainly changed the experience.
Yeah,
I don't think it was meant to be a comedy.
Yeah, if you see Spaceballs before you see Alien, then when you see Alien for the first time, it takes on a whole different vibe to it. The same thing for like Star Wars, you know, people seeing it now would see all the tropes that have been homaged throughout all kinds of other media throughout time. And it doesn't have quite the same, it hits differently, as the kids say. Here's my fun fact. Harry Dean Stanton's first words to Ridley Scott during his audition were, I don't like science fiction or monster movies. That's a good time to bring that up, Mr. Stanton. R.I.P. Harry Dean Stanton. Back to Cassandra. This question is called Think of Me Fondly. This is a musical theater question, the rare musical theater category on the podcast. The longest running show in Broadway is Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical cult classic, The Phantom of the Opera. Arriving on Broadway in 1988, the final performance of the show was in April of last year. Webber originally opened his show in London's West End in 1986, and it ran there until 2020. As a quick aside here to our British listeners, what exactly is the West End? Is that some kind of like Broadway knockoff or something? Some sort of like British clone wannabe of us? I don't really know. We're still waiting to hear from you to reach out to us, two British listeners, so we can stop making our lame British jokes. Until then, we're going to still pretend that the U.S. invented everything, including Phantom of the Opera. Here's your question. Playing opposite the titular Phantom is protagonist Christine Daae. Your question is, what soprano originated the role of Christine during her marriage to Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber? This is a multiple choice. Was it A, Sarah Hugill? If that's how you pronounce your name. Sorry, Sarah. Is it B, Sarah Brightman? C, Madeleine Gerdon? D, Emmy Rossum? Or is it E, Martini and Rossi, Asti Spumante?
Martini and Rossi, Asti Spumante, when you've got good taste at
all. That would be Sarah Brightman.
Sarah Brightman, of course, is correct. Well done.
And I worked in the West End at the Victoria Palace Theatre. It's pretty awesome over there. I was a lowly student and was just a bartender at the time, but hey.
Here's the fun fact. All of these women were at one time married to Andrew Lloyd Webber, except for Emmy Rossum, who played Christine in the 2004 movie of the musical stage play. That movie was directed by Joel Schumacher, who gave us The Lost Boys years earlier in 1987. Goth girls of all ages have something to thank Mr. Shoemaker for. And then we have a producer note from Robin, who added a note to this question. And she wrote saying that, personal fun fact, that she's seen this musical live 4 times, which is pretty impressive, Robin, I got to say. But it's almost as impressive as the 6 times that I've seen this show, including on London's West End, a.k.a. Pick and Save Broadway.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ooh, those are fighting words. Those two British listeners better tune in.
All they got to do is write us and say, knock it off, you losers. And we will. We promise. But we just want to hear you. How's the show sounding in the UK? We want to know. So this question's back to Philip. It's called Not an Indiana Jones Knockoff. This is a television question. With its swashbuckling action, exotic locales, and charismatic characters, Tales of the Gold Monkey captured the essence of classic adventure storytelling, captivating audiences with its daring exploits week after week, at least for a few weeks. Set in the South Pacific during the 1930s, the show follows ex-Flying Tigers pilot Jake Cutter's escapades as he navigates through danger and intrigue alongside his trusted allies, including his one-eyed dog, Jack, and an adventurous bartender named Bonchance Louis. The show only lasted for 1 season, not due to unpopularity, but due to the high production costs. Here's your question. How many episodes of Tales of the Gold Monkey made it to air? Your multiple choice options are A, was it 8 episodes? B, 12? C, 22? Or was it D, 69?
69, dudes!
I'm going to go with 8 episodes.
8 episodes? That is incorrect. I'm sorry, Philip. The correct answer is C, 22 episodes. So they had a full 22 episode run. At least they got that.
We did end up looking up some of the trivia about it because we think, why did this show not continue? Apparently, there was also artistic differences between the creator and the network. They wanted it to go more Indiana Jones in style. And he's like, but that's not what this, you know, this has got a different heart to it. It's got a different, that's our understanding of it anyway. Sounded interesting.
That's why this question is called Not Indiana Jones Knockoff.
Yeah.
Here's a fun fact. While too expensive for 80s television, the show was popular enough to inspire another late Gen X show that also only lasted for 1 season. Disney Channel's Tailspin. If you're unfamiliar with this show, just imagine Tales of the Gold Monkey, but with characters from The Jungle Book. We hope that clears it up for you. If it doesn't, don't fret because they are rebooting Tailspin and it's in current development. Yet another reboot nobody asked for and nobody wants. However, I could go for another run of Tales of the Gold Monkey. I know that. I feel at this point, the only thing that we should be rebooting are the good ideas that didn't get a fair chance at success. Tales of the Gold Monkey had more to give than just 1 season and deserves another bite at the apple.
I remember Tailspin. I remember the music for Tailspin.
Tailspin. Ooh. That was to trigger our millennial listeners. That wasn't the... Never mind.
It triggered me, Dave. It triggered me.
Okay, all right. So long as I triggered somebody by singing the song. Okay. Cassandra, this one's for you. It's called A Lovely Lady and a Man Named Brady. It's a television question. Music, especially original theme songs, were a huge part of TV for Generation X. Often characterized by catchy theme songs and lively scores, shows like Three's Company and Happy Days featured memorable theme tunes that became ingrained in pop culture, instantly recognizable to audience even today. The Brady Bunch theme song was arranged and performed by a trio called the Peppermint Trolley Company. That is, until season 2, when a new singing group took over the performance. Starting in season 2, who sang the Brady Bunch theme song? This is a multiple choice. Was it A, the 6 actors playing the Brady children? B, Florence Henderson and Robert Reed? C, Anne B. Davis' identical twin sister, Beatrice A. Davis? C, Christopher Knight and Maureen McCormick, Peter and Marcia from the show, who laid down several tracks to make it sound as if it was sung by all the Bradys? Or was it E, was the Peppermint Trolley Company replaced by the Spearmint Rhino Company?
I'm going to use my Wonder Twins Activate on this one, Philip.
Wonder Twin powers activate.
Nice. Thank you. That's all I was living for this whole episode. I just wanted to hear it, especially coming out of you, Cassandra. You got that lovely voice.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to go with A, the six actor kids. It was A.
So Philip says A, the six actors playing the Brady children. Cassandra, are you going to go with his conference or are you going to go out on your own?
I'm going to go with what he said.
That's a good choice because it's correct. Well done, Philip. You swooped in and saved the day. You formed a giant, ice toboggan and swooped in and saved the day with your Wonder Twin powers. Okay.
I don't know what that means, but great.
It's because you're a boomer. No, it's Wonder Twins, Zan and Jaina. Jaina always turned into some sort of animal and Zan turned into some ice something or other.
Shape of octopus.
Form of an ice unicycle.
Moments later, by the coastal mountains.
Anyways.
I got it.
All right. Word. Here's the fun fact. The actors went on to record 4 albums for Paramount under the group name The Brady Bunch. Their most famous album was Meet the Brady Bunch, which came out in 1972. Additionally, Christopher Knight and Maureen McCormick did indeed record a duet album together in 1973. Don't worry, however, there are only a few love songs. So that means this question is back to you, Philip. This one's called That's No Moon.
Look at him. He's heading for that small moon.
That's No Moon. It's a space station.
Star Wars revolutionized science fiction cinema upon its release in 1977, forever altering the landscape of the genre. Director George Lucas's visionary storytelling, groundbreaking special effects, and imaginative world building set a new standard for sci-fi filmmaking, inspiring generations of filmmakers and audiences alike. Like any good science fiction, the places where our space adventurers visit are a wide variety of planets and other celestial bodies. Here's your question. Home of the Ewoks, what kind of celestial body is Endor? Was it A, a moon? B, a terrestrial planet? C, a rogue planet? D, a dwarf planet? Or is it E, a little person's planet? You do have your Wonder Twins lifeline for this round. I just want to let you know if you're not sure.
I do have that. I'm not feeling the force though from Cassandra on this question. So I'm going to go with E.
E, a little person's planet?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That is incorrect. is he incorrect? Like, consider the actors that were on that planet. Like, no, he's still not gonna. Sorry, we're fighting for you. I don't know. I think he's got a partial correct answer. I'm just saying. Judges, partial credit.
Yep.
All right, we're going to give you partial credit on that. However, the full correct answer for those playing at home is it was a moon.
Terrestrial? No.
I'm sorry, Cassandra. I interrupted you. What were you about to say?
I was about to give the wrong answer.
It was indeed a moon. Option A.
The moon of Endor.
Right. It makes sense now when you say it like that. Before his final showdown with Darth Vader and the Emperor, Luke, accompanied by Leia and Han, must first go down to the forest moon of Endor, home of the cute and quirky furballs called Ewoks, who are somehow capable of taking down the Imperial forces with just a few rocks and some sticks. And a lot of plot armor.
No.
What do they do with the Imperial forces after they kill them? That's right. They eat the stormtroopers. Evidence of this can be seen at the end of Return of the Jedi when all that's left of the Empire are a bunch of empty helmets. And, well, there's this scene too.
I'm rather embarrassed, General Solo, but it appears you are to be the main course at a banquet in my honor.
Yep.
Yeah, not so cute anymore when you think about they're about to eat Han and Luke. So that's the end of round one. Robin, can you give us a scoring update?
So far, they have 9 points.
9 out of 12. Not too bad.
Not too bad.
Before we start round 2, let's take another listen to the power struggle.
A double pleasure's waiting for you.
Neat.
And hey, let's be careful out there.
Oh, no!
Round 2. Round 2 of this episode is a game called Taglines Blowing Through My Mind.
Tag.
Blowing through my mind.
In this game, I'll give you the tagline or slogan of a popular Gen X movie, and you need to tell me which movie the tagline is from. A good movie tagline should give you a quick glimpse at the plot of the movie, and that should give you the clues that you need to figure out each movie here. There are three movies to name in this game, one from the 70s, one from the 80s, and one from the 90s. I'll give you a few clues to help you out, and each correct answer is worth 2 points. Good luck. For our 80s movie today, IMDb calls this an action crime sci-fi movie. It stars Ronnie Cox, Daryl Cox, and Jesse D. Goins as Joe Cox. There's a lot of Cox going on in this movie. The tagline is, the future of law enforcement. The future of law enforcement.
So, RoboCop?
RoboCop is correct. Well done. That's 2 points for your team. Nice work.
Thank you.
Here's the fun fact. The standard copyright notice at the end of the film includes a warning that, quote, this motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries, and its unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution by enforcement droids.
You had 20 seconds to comply. You now have 15 seconds to comply. You now have 5 seconds to comply.
Help me!
I can't imagine why this movie was rated R. Well done, Philip. Here's your movie two. This is from the 70s. IMDb calls this a horror film. It stars William O'Malley, Max von Sydow, and Mercedes McCambridge as the voice of Demon. The tagline is, the devil inside. And NXS does not appear on the soundtrack.
I'm drawing a blank on that one. Wonder Twins activate.
Cassandra, you going to help him out?
Oh, boy. I want to say Something Wicked This Way Comes, but I don't know that that's a movie title.
Real quick, one more time. William O'Malley, Max von Sydow, and Mercedes McCambridge star in the movie, and she voices the voice of Demon. And the tagline is, the devil inside.
I'm going to say The Omen.
Are you going to go with that, or are you going to go on your own, Philip?
I know that's wrong.
Well, that's a relief.
Okay, I'll go on my own.
Okay.
The Exorcist.
The Exorcist is correct. Well done. Good thing you didn't listen to Cassandra.
The power of Christ compels you.
Very good thing. I don't know horror very well, and I've never seen The Exorcist.
Actor Jason Miller was praised for his believable portrayal of Father Karras in the film. The level of authenticity of fear, shock, and disgust he brought on screen was contagious for audience members, and there's a good reason why. Director William Friedkin fired a gun near Jason Miller's ear without warning to get an authentic reaction from him. Again, in the scene where Reagan projectile vomits at Father Karras, the vomit was intended to hit Jason Miller in the chest, but the plastic tubing misfired, hitting him in the face. His reaction of shock and disgust while wiping away the vomit is genuine, as was the look of anger for being toyed with on set by his director. Okay, here's the last one of the round, movie three. It's our 90s movie, and today we reach to the very far end of Gen X. IMDb calls this a comedy romance film. It stars, in part, Wallace Shawn, Breckin Meyer, and the great and lovely and talented Julie Brown. The tagline is, sex, clothes, popularity, whatever.
Let's see. Well, it can't be Clueless. It's from the 90s. That's a terrible one. I was thinking Clueless, but it can't be that.
Why can't it be Clueless?
Julie Brown. Clueless.
Clueless is correct. I don't know why you didn't think it could be Clueless.
That's what I thought it was, too. That was the only thing I had was Clueless.
I don't remember Julie Brown.
She plays the lesbian gym teacher in the movie. Oh,
I don't think I ever knew that, but well, there you go.
We're educating here on the podcast. That's what we do. Julie Brown might best be known to Gen Xers from her MTV show, Just Say Julie. The show featured small skits that were largely used to introduce the next music video coming up. However, she was not the only Julie Brown on MTV at the time, but clearly the most successful. Downtown Julie Brown was also on the channel and was a host for a very popular Club MTV dance show. Unfortunately for all of us, a bunch of brand new executives came to power for MTV in the 90s and changed the format from the channel that offered something super cool to something super lame. This change derailed the careers of TV personalities like Downtown Julie Brown, or as David Spade once said,
"Wubba, wubba, wubba, my career's in trouble, trouble, trouble."
Okay, we're going to take another listen to the Power Struggle clip before we start round three. But before we do that, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor.
Magnum will return after these messages and station identification.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
If you're enjoying the show so far, please consider giving us a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from, and subscribing for future episodes. The only way a show like this gets anywhere in the podcasting world is by positive reviews and word of mouth among friends. So, if you're inclined, please help spread the word about the podcast and share it with that special Gen Xer in your life. We'd love to have you as a friend of the show. Thanks so much!
So who's gonna save our generation? Are you gonna save our generation? Who will save Generation X?
The Power
Struggle.
A double pleasure's waiting for you.
Neat.
And hey, let's be careful out there.
Oh no!
Round three. Round three today is a game called Sing Your Life.
Sing Your Life.
Light Shadows, other Sing Your Life, but now is your chance to shine. In this game, I will play a clip from a song, and Cassandra, you must sing the next lines until the judges are satisfied with your performance. Don't worry, though. If you have listened to the judges sing in previous episodes, then you know that the bar is set pretty low here. There are three songs in total to sing, and you'll be awarded 1 point for singing the next lines and one bonus point for naming the band or artist that sang that song, as well as the title of the song. So 2 points per song.
Zabe, my head is filled with our own lyrics. I don't know if there's any room for anything else, but I'll do my best.
We'll have fun with it anyway.
Clearing the cache, clearing the cache.
So remember, all questions must be given an answer. So if you don't know the lyrics, you're going to have to make up some.
Awesome.
When you hear the music stop, you start singing, and then we'll reveal the rest of the song. And then you'll have to tell me the artist and title of the song. We'll start with something super easy. Please sing the next four lines to this classic Gen X song. When the music stops, sing your life.
Sweet dreams are made of these. Who am I to disagree? I travel the world and the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something.
Some of them want to use you. And some of them want to get used by you. Some of them want to abuse you. And some of them want to be abused.
Ooh. Sorry, I wanted to chime in there. I have a confession to make. I thought there's no chance you were going to not get that correct, but I just wanted to hear you sing it on this podcast.
Hopefully I don't get in trouble.
You have such a lovely voice. What's the name of the song and by whom?
That is Eurythmics with Sweet Dreams.
Judges, close enough. Sweet Dreams, parentheses, are made of this.
Are made of this.
Okay, all right.
The parenthetical. I did skip the parenthetical. Yeah.
It's okay. According to the book, Annie Lennox, the biography, Lennox explained that the song is about the search for fulfillment and the sweet dreams that motivate people's lives. Co-writer Dave Stewart later said, quote, "It's actually a sort of existential spooky record asking if this is what the world has come to. Is this what our dreams are made of? I suppose it was reality, basically, what we were writing about. It wasn't a Disney kind of world," end quote. The cow in the music video for Sweet Dreams are made of this was Dave Stewart's idea, who was inspired by the surrealist artist Salvador Dali. Not only did the cow baffle fans at the time, it also caused several logistical problems as there wasn't any major studios that could accommodate such animals. So the music video was shot in London in a basement. Annie Lennox admitted filming in a basement with a cow was one of the most surreal experiences of her life, saying, quote, "The video is a statement about the different forms of existence. Here are humans with our dreams of industry and achievement and success. And here's a cow.
Oh, make a move."
Here's song number two. This one will probably be the most difficult one of the batch for some of you listening. But Cassandra, I believe in you. Sing the next four lines to this song. When the music stops, sing your life.
Quietly knocks, shaking his head, creeps closer now. His arms all around me and his tongue in my eyes.
Be still, be calm, be quiet now, my precious boy. Don't struggle like that or I will only love you more. It's much too late to turn on the light. The Spider-Man is having you for dinner tonight.
Woohoo! Well done.
Nice.
Nice. You pulled that out.
I kind of destroyed it, but
that's close enough. I mean, almost word for word. Judges, close enough. The judges are impressed. Well done. Here is the fun fact. Lullaby is based on a recurring nightmare Robert Smith had as a child, where he was eaten by a giant spider. Smith says that the song is also about the fear of sleep. According to Robert Smith, the lullabies his father sang to him had similarly tragic endings. Quote, "There would be something like, sleep now, pretty baby, and then there'd be an, or you won't wake up at all, ending to the song," end quote. However, it probably sounded more like, "or you won't wake up at all, ending to the song." Sorry, that was my horrible Robert Smith impression. And here's the last song of the round. You can only sing the next three lines of this song, so make them count. When the music stops, sing your life.
I'm too sexy for my cat. Too sexy for my cat. For pussy. For pussy cat. I'm too sexy for my love.
Too sexy for my love. Oh, you know what? I just want to hear Philip sing it. So, Wonder Twin Powers, activate.
Ah.
My cat, too sexy for my cat, poor pussy cat, I'm too sexy for my love.
Too sexy for my love, love, lover, come back. Something like that.
Judges? I'm sorry, that is not a complete correct answer. You did get part of it, though. You did say too sexy for my love. So we're going to give you one partial pity point because, you know, we want to bridge the gap between Gen X and boomers. This is an olive branch from my generation to yours. We're going to give you one pity point, but let's hear the reveal.
Love wants to leave me.
Too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave me. And I'm too sexy for this song.
See, the hint was you can only sing the last three lines. Hopefully that you would remember that I'm too sexy for this song part. That was our little help. Because who remembers all the lyrics to Right Said Fred's I'm Too Sexy? Whoops. I already gave you the answer to the one you're supposed to say. Huh?
What a complete numbskull.
Thank you so very much, sir.
Am I doing well as a host?
Oh, right. To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people.
Okay. Who sang that song?
Oh, that was Right Said Fred. I'm Too Sexy.
Well done. Oh, boy. What a day. Here is the fun fact. Right Said Fred is comprised of the buff bald brothers, Richard and Fred Fairbass. Fred Fairbass. Same name.
I'm sorry.
Fairbrass. The group members wrote the song on a very hot day in an unair-conditioned basement recording studio. They were playing the bass line to the song when Fred took off his sweat-soaked shirt and said that he was too sexy for that shirt and kept repeating it to the rhythm of the bass line. The whole studio started cracking up to his shirtless goofing around, so they just went with it and started recording the song. Reportedly, the bass line heard in the record is the one and only take they did for this song. When asked of the creative inspiration for this song, Fairbrass Brothers cited a hot day, a bass line, and a little bit of marijuana.
How much do you smoke?
This will be a little demonstration of that. I'm so wasted.
So that's it for round three. Robin, can you give us a scoring update before we hear the power struggle?
Yeah, so far the team has 20 points.
20 points is very strong. Well done. Let's take one last listen to the power struggle question and then get your answer.
A double pleasure's waiting for you.
Niece.
And hey, let's be careful out there.
Oh,
no!
Gosh, all right, one through five, Cassandra.
I think I've got four of the five, but I'm not sure. The first one sounds like, I'm going to take a guess, that it's the Double Mint gum commercial thing. And then the second was definitely Tom Hanks in Big. The third was a station ident. I thought, and this is where I might need your help, Philip, I thought it might be Viacom. Five it's clips five. That he played. And the third okay. one was a...
Wait, I'm sorry, how'd that go?
I'll make you say bald blah 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 again. That was unbelievable. You got through that. I was like, say that five times fast.
Fair play.
That was good.
Okay, I know the last one was Eddie Grant
with Electric Avenue, and the one before that.
Yeah.
And it's because I had a friend who liked this show. Otherwise, I wouldn't know Hill Street Blues. And it's just the third one. I'm going to say Viacom, but I don't know for sure.
I can tell you, you have four of the five correct.
Ooh, so it's that sound that.
So the one up for grabs is.
Ring.
Right.
Okay.
What is that from?
The only other thing I could think of is maybe is NBC's ident. I believe it's a station ident, but I could be wrong. It could be a show thing. Do you have any idea?
I'll go with the NBC thing.
Yeah.
I'll take that as a yes. Judges. Did they get all five correct and in the correct order?
Survey said.
I'm sorry. You got four of the five correct. Clip number three, you're correct. It was an identification audio cue, but it was for the Hanna-Barbera Cartoon Company. And that was what you'd hear at the end of like every episode of He-Man or She-Ra. You'd hear that swooshy. Then you see the star kind of going a little circle, whatever, if you can picture it in your brain. That was a valiant effort. But you did not get the power struggle 100% correct. That's okay. You're still up with a 20 points. So Cassandra and Philip, thank you first of all so much for lending your time and talents to the podcast. Did you guys have a good time here on the show?
Very much. Yes. Even when I embarrassed myself.
Oh, that was the best part.
Is there anything you'd like to plug or any shout outs you'd like to give before we hand out the ranks to the quiz?
Well, we definitely love for people to check out our music, of course, as an independent band. Who wouldn't want people to listen to their music? And we can be found at lightshadowsmusic.com. We are on all your major streamers as well, and YouTube. And you can add our music to your stories and posts on things like Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok.
Awesome. Listeners, please check out the show notes for this episode where you can find a link to learn more about Light Shadows and listen to their wonderful music. Speaking of which, stick around at the end of this episode and we're going to play you a song written and performed by Cassandra and Philip called Bloody Sticky Stuff. We hope you enjoy it as much as we did. Thanks again, Light Shadows. All right, everybody, do you remember your score? There were 24 points available, but let's see how well you did and get the grades and ranks. If you're playing against our special guests and scored less than 20 points, then you let this musical duo beat you, and you might want to go back and brush up on your memories of your youth.
Ladies and gentlemen, rock and roll.
We mentioned the MTV show Just Say Julie on this episode, so we're going to use the MTV original programming scoring system to grade the quiz today. These are the shows that MTV thought we wanted to see in between the music videos during the Generation X timeline. We removed the video-based shows from contention, so shows like Yo MTV Raps, Headbangers Ball, and 120 Minutes were left off the list. These are only original programming for shows for MTV. So let's go to the ranks. A score of 22 to 24 points is the grade of an A, and that earns you the rank of the absolute best thing MTV ever made, according to our game show judges. And that is the show called Remote Control. Remote Control.
And now it's his basement, his rules, his game show. The Quizmaster of 72, Whooping Coughlin, head over.
It was MTV's first original non-music program, first game show, and by far the best one that they ever had to offer. Look, we may be a little biased here, but the premise of the show was that its host, Ken Ober, was obsessed with the TV shows of his youth and dedicated his life to making the game show to honor those who raised him as a child, the television set. Does not get any more Gen X than that. So we thought a grade of an A for both Remote Control and for you for doing so well on this quiz. Congrats, you're doing your part to save Generation X. Well done. A score of 19 to 21 points, that's you guys, Light Shadows, is enough for a B and the rank of Liquid Television.
Liquid Television.
You guys remember that show? Nope. Okay. It's a rad show. I think you should be honored to be a part of that one. The show has served as a launching point for several high-profile original cartoons, including Beavis and Butthead and Aeon Flux. The bulk of Liquid Television's material was created by independent animators and artists, especially for the show, and some previously produced segments were compiled for festivals such as Spike and Mike's Festival of Animation. For bringing us these iconic bits of animation, we give it a B on today's quiz. Well done. A score of 16 to 18 points is enough for a C, and that gives you the rank of House of Style.
Coming to you from New York Central Park, it's the summer edition of House of Style. We'll look at what some models consider sexy, tattoos is the latest rage in accessorizing, and how the fashion community supports a cause while looking fabulous.
The show, hosted by Cindy Crawford, premiered in May of 1989, focusing on America's growing fascination with the supermodel craze. The show focused on fashion, lives of models, and the modeling industry. It was pretty much a Lifestyle of the Rich and Famous ripoff show, but they did try to tackle real life issues and topics such as eating disorders. So they kind of tried to do some passable work. So we give you and it a passable grade of a C on tonight's ranks. A score of 13 to 15 points is enough for a D, and the rank of Singled Out, if you remember that show.
Right here.
We have 50 guys and 50 girls, and when it's all over, two will get a date. But first, let's go to Jenny McCarthy in the dating pool.
This one barely made it into the Gen X timeline as it premiered in 1995. Once again, MTV showed us how much they like to rehash old ideas and serve them to us instead of just giving us what we really wanted and just some dang music videos. The show was a combination of The Dating Game and Love Connection, but replaced the charm of those two shows with whatever the hell they were doing on this show. The show gained a cult following and did enough to earn a rank of a D on the quiz, but just barely. And finally, if you score 12 or less, well, that's a failing grade, I'm afraid, as is your rank of The Real World.
This is the true story.
True story.
Of seven strangers picked to live in a loft
and have their lives taped
to find out what happens.
What? When people stop being polite. Could you get the phone?
And start getting real.
The real world.
Yes, I said it. My fellow Gen Xers, I know that this show was a landmark in television history. I understand that they did some good work with bringing representation to TV that had never been there before. And I know that many of you listening to this episode right now disagree with the show giving this an F. Despite all the good things on the show and what it had going for it, and there were many, the show suffered from the unforgivable sin of marking the end of what MTV was and the beginning of what it turned into. And in fact, what much of TV as a whole turned into. This show really put reality TV into the consciousness of television watchers. People point to the show Survivor as bringing about the reality TV apocalypse, but the real ones know that it was the real world that introduced the masses to the reality TV plague as we see it today. It was a good show for several reasons, and it was for sure a big part of our collective experience as Gen Xers. But the impact of bringing down our beloved MTV cannot be overlooked or overstated. The phrase, "I want my MTV," brought around a whole new meaning after this show did its damage. And that is an epic failure, as is the grade of an F for not getting more than 13 points in the quiz. Try again on the next episode of the home game and see if you can get a passing grade. Once again, I'd like to give a shout out to our special guests, Cassandra and Philip of Light Shadows, for being on this episode of the show. We hope you enjoyed playing along this episode of the home game, and we'll post your score on our Facebook group page. If you're interested in supporting the show, we have a Patreon account set up for those who'd like to take advantage of the special offers we give for becoming a Patreon supporter. However, if you just want to send some appreciation for what we're trying to do here, we also offer our Venmo account, and you can send that at WhoWillSaveGenX. Detailed information is available in the show notes for this episode, both of the ways to send some love to the show. If you have questions, comments, a shout out, or would like to sign up to become a guest on the show, you can email me at whowillsavegenx@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your feedback, and we invite you to become a friend of the show. Remember to stick around to the end of the show to listen to the song written and performed by my guest, Light Shadows. And that's it for this episode of The Home Game. Thanks so much to all of you for listening wherever you are. We'll be back with our regular version of the podcast in the next episode, where we will once again ask the question, who will save Generation X? Later. Cassandra and Philip, is there anything you want to say about this song before we play it?
Well, I'd like to say that this one was the first, one of the first songs that we had actually written as a single, and revisiting it has been great. And it was one of those times where it's just like, yeah, this is the lyric that's coming. I'm gonna own it and dig into it.
Congratulations on having that talent. That's something not a lot of people possess. It's
great. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
From the moment we appear, through the blood and sweat and tears, in the moment we arrive, shows that we're alive, flowing through the mind, moving in rhythm and in time, flowing through the veins, pulling love and fueling pain. But it doesn't stop. Explosion and we find, we have bloody sticky stuff, bloody sticky stuff, bloody sticky, bloody sticky stuff, bloody sticky stuff, bloody sticky stuff, bloody sticky, bloody sticky, bloody sticky stuff. gives us a reprieve. But it never, no, it never stays still. Not by force and not by will. It needs to flow.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.